The eight worldly conditions. Do you remember them?
I don't know that I do remember them all, but I'll try. Praise and blame.
Yes.
Gain and loss.
Happiness
and pain.
Yes.
And the one you mentioned.
Something like to be somebody or having title or rank, high rank or title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Recognition. Or
yes.
And the opposite.
Mm-hmm. We cannot avoid having these. So I think that Buddha found out that no matter people in what stages, they must have unpleasant feeling anyway. So the best thing is developing or having more understanding of oneself and of the world. Otherwise, we cannot help all people in the world, but we can begin to help them to understand realities as not so very important. Because if one cling to oneself, one cling to one's pride and one's ego and conceit, all this will bring more and more suffering. And I think that the most important thing is to understand the six doorways, for example, what are the absolute realities and what is not. For example, thoughts and thinking. So whenever there is any kind of thoughts, like thinking of someone or Jonathan's and others, without thinking, there cannot be such thought about different people and things. So one realizes that it's only just arise, and it's here because the one who you are thinking about is there, sometimes laughing, sometimes having fun, or sometimes beyond you expect what she or he is doing. So it's only your thinking, things about them. So it just arises, and when it's unwholesome thinking, it accompanies by unpleasant feeling. So why should we have such unpleasant feeling just from our thinking? If we can help, we help instantly. The poor or any situation that you can help to comfort anyone, and then you can do. Otherwise, don't think with unpleasant feeling about the situation.
Because it serves
my
purpose.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the way to help everyone to relieve from what one thinks that is so very important story or matter or issue. Uh-huh. Because one cannot do but just think. The real situation is not like that in such a moment. The one that can experience an object and the other one cannot. So in terms of elements, we cannot do anything. Like fire. There is no fire now, but when there is right condition, there must be fire, even now, right now. So where is fire now? So where is such consciousness, such thought, or such moments? They do not store or keep in some places at all. When there are right conditions, like fire, it arises. There are conditions for its arising. Just an element, different element. Seeing is an element, hearing is an element. If we really can cut moments into just one moment, it's like that. No big solid world, no people, no thing.
Sometimes we take things very seriously, like other people's behavior or one's own behavior, like one may mind a lot about others' unwholesomeness or even about one's own. Does that just show one's strong clinging to oneself?
And it shows the lack of awareness of reality. Because reality appears with no understanding, no awareness all the time, because there is thinking about the story of reality all the time. But when there is awareness and understanding of absolute reality, right understanding grow and see the difference between the world of conventional truth and absolute truth. But there must be absolute truth and only absolute truth. And thinking is absolute truth, but the story is not absolute truth. So how can one be very serious about story, no matter what story one is thinking about? It's just a moment ago when you talk about your colleague, see? And now, seeing, hearing, just passing all the time, unknowingly. That's why there should be more understanding of reality in order to understand six doorways, not just five doorways or one doorway.
One thing I've really noticed about Kuan Su Jin is that, like, if you tell her about someone's bad deed or something, she just laughs. She doesn't take it seriously at all. And also, like you were saying to me yesterday, you never really think about anything much, or you never think it's long stories because of more understanding. So
it's just wasting of time.
And there's the uselessness of it.
Wasting of time. Yeah, there should be more understanding of reality instead. And by having more understanding, it's just a moment. Long story is just the succession of one moment of thinking in word. That's all.
Sometimes she says to me, "You think too much, Sarah."
Yes.
About
things that aren't important.
And also, like, trying to work something out, or
yes,
trying to
just do it.
We try to work out why he did this to me, and why would he do this, or why could such a thing have happened? Or it's trying to work out the story instead of just understand the reality.
And
I think it serves some purpose to work out the theory or work out the story, but
this is just a conventional understanding.
Yes, exactly.
We're not looking.
When you are confronted with such situation, just do your best. That's all. And then the other reality arises. You do your best for that moment again. You don't have to think before you go to sleep about long, long story of many people.
You don't have to analyze the personalities.
Yeah.
You have to work out why it happened. You just accept that that's
it's just a moment.
Yeah. Do your best at the present moment. When there's a beggar, then we do our best giving, then completely gone.
I think sometimes we cling a lot to thinking and our stories. It's like we're afraid not to work out the story. I mean, we feel that we need to follow along, and that if we don't follow the story, somehow we will miss out on something.
Even you think like that, what would happen by conditions.
Yes.
So I think too long or so long about the thing which hasn't happened yet, because when it happens, it must be conditioned that way.
But maybe sometimes we think that we need to work it out in order to know what is the best action or the best non-action.
But you don't have to take too long time. For example, seeing doctor, and then we got the medicines, and then we would go home, and then we come back again. We don't have to, and what again, repeatedly all over and over again. What did he say this morning about the secret or something like that? Just do your best at the present moment.
That may be the reason, for example, maybe Pandan don't think, so I better try and go over everything he said again, because otherwise when I go back to Bangkok I'll forget, so it's important I should try to remember.
That is her best to do at that very time, to remind and to do correctly. Just do your best. Don't think too long.
I think, yes, I think you make an effort to maybe make a note of it and understand as to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what Constantine's saying, you don't sort of mull over it and think, no, why did he say that? Why would that be this? And you don't sort of live with it.
No.
You sort of understand what's been said and you carry on and you take your medicine. But in a very sort of detached way, I suppose.
You don't have to try not to think about it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there comes a point when there's only so much thinking that's useful. Once that point has been reached, any further thinking is useless.
And like about the other people, you know, taking everything so seriously doesn't help it at all. I mean, you just do what is best or follow what is best, but worrying about it and the anxiety doesn't help it at all.
And in a way, considering we sort of clutter up our minds and our spirit with a lot of unnecessary things by doing that, don't we? We sort of clog ourselves up with all that, those stories and thinking that's not useful.
Because reality appears. And when there is the understanding or the reminding or the awareness of reality and developing understanding,
we might have a tendency to think an awful lot about things, and if that is the case, then there's still nothing that we can do that can change that terribly
but
much.
But understanding.
I was going to say understanding. A moment of understanding or of any kind of wholesomeness can cut right through that.
I think also to know that what is useful is the understanding rather than the thinking, because otherwise if one clings to the idea that the more one thinks, the better, that will be a condition for more thinking. Mm-hmm. But if one realizes that it's the understanding that's important, then mm-hmm. if there are conditions for thinking, it's okay, but one has more detachment from it rather than clinging and trying to encourage the story. So
the most important thing is that one cannot stop thinking, no matter it's wholesome or unwholesome, right? But right understanding can understand. This is the development of understanding. It can understand even that moment as just thinking. This is the usefulness of developing awareness and understanding of realities, to become used to realities as realities, because now reality does not appear as reality, right? They appear as being and things. That's why when there is more development of awareness and understanding of realities, even thinking arises, and it's unwholesome thinking that we cannot stop at all. But right understanding can be, awareness can be aware, and right understanding understand instantly that it's just a reality which thinks. No body, no story. It's like while one is watching TV, pleasantly or unpleasantly, and then there is understanding with awareness that, oh, it's just visible object. Like other thing, no body, no Khrushchev, no Yeltsin on TV at all, just colors. It can condition thinking a lot with pleasant or unpleasant feeling. So this is exactly the same, no matter it's on TV or not on TV, as long as different colors appears, it can condition different thoughts. So by understanding moment, that visible object is visible object in its true nature of its reality, the other doorway can be aware and understood correctly too. This is to see realities as realities by development only, not by reading or thinking.
Even though we've heard a lot about realities, we're so used to living in a world of thinking of the problems in our life as being the other beings and the things. So even if there is some considering or some moments of being aware of the realities as they are, still we cling so much to the idea of objects and people and things, and seeing the problems as being outside us rather than just this moment of thinking.
That's why I understand that how long it takes to develop understanding of reality, and that is the fully developed wisdom or right understanding of reality which appears. Otherwise it's the same ignorance about reality each day, each night, each moment, the same. But when there is awareness, it's the beginning of understanding that, oh, there are conditions for right awareness to be aware of the characteristic of reality which appears. Even it's so short, but it's the beginning of the development. And one knows that it's so very natural in daily life. One does not have to do anything at all because there are realities. It depends on understanding and awareness to develop. No one can escape from realities. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, visible objects, sound, smell, taste, touch, thinking, thoughts. From time to time, from day to day, from year to year, from life to life. Again and again, over and over. With attachment and aversion, like some situation. So one learns to see that there can be right thinking with pleasant or indifferent feeling, not with unpleasant feeling, like thinking of someone doing something. There can be awareness, oh, that is wrong thinking because it's accompanied by unwholesomeness. Try to solve, try to do something uncontrollable.
Yes, or when if one feels very sorry for someone, it's like if one feels sorrowful mm-hmm. oneself,
yeah.
it's not compassion, is it? It's just mm-hmm. One's aversion or one's right. unpleasant feeling. Mm-hmm. That,
because one doesn't like such action or such deeds or such trait. So there can be aversion by hearing or by seeing or by thinking. So one responsible, one is responsible for one's own accumulation. And what one can do, the best is to help the others to understand realities and the truth, so that they can see what is wholesome and what is unwholesome, what is useful and what is not useful, what is wisdom and what is not wisdom.
Earlier we mentioned, or I think it came up about, Leah mentioned about this man who is having some difficulty and how we think it's important for someone to have some pride, this is in the Western terms, we have some pride in themselves or pride in their work. Can you explain exactly what?
I see that it's human's nature, not only Western.
You mean in the sense that sometimes I think the pride, yes, the pride thing I talk about is something I was brought up to, the idea of being proud and independent.
To have self-respect or something
yes.
like that.
And we think this is good, like yes. Leo was saying, mm-hmm. she's been brought up and educated yeah. to think that it's important to have yeah. to be independent or have respect or high regard mm-hmm. for oneself or mm-hmm. confidence in one's own yes. ability.
Not in an arrogant way, but you know, a way that, in other words, I think I can remember thinking when I was growing up that if somebody, what we call put you down, like my reaction maybe would be, take your job, I'm not mm-hmm. staying here, I'm not going to be treated yeah. like this, why should I be yeah. treated like this?
Yeah.
But not in a sort of, in a way, not because, but then of course when you analyse it, you realise it is because you think there's something special.
Because we cling to the self.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To the being, myself. But actually, it's like clinging to something that when you open your fist, there is nothing in it. Mm-hmm.
The difficulty I find, yeah. sorry to talk over you, Constantine, is that it does
unwholesome reality that he can do such and such things. We can bear, we can endure, we
yes.
can be kind
yes.
to any action.
Yes.
Because nobody can turn our accumulation from wholesome accumulation
correct.
Into unwholesome.
Yes.
No matter what he treats us,
correct.
We still have the wholesome
yes.
accumulation.
It's like the comment I sometimes make, nobody can hurt us except we ourselves.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Nobody can take anything from us except mm-hmm. we ourselves.
And we can say that nothing can hurt you except one's own accumulation of defilements.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One's own defilements.
You can see that for many people, I mean, it's quite difficult because, like Leah said, it's the opposite of the way we've been brought up. Like, Leah was brought up as to be a good Catholic, if you like, or a good person, and to have high regard or respect for oneself, or to have independence, or not to stand for any kind of nonsense. And now it's like being
yeah.
encouraged not to mind at all about
yeah.
oneself. So
because
it's a little difficult.
Yeah.
It's like having to do a U-turn.
It's a proof that the more one clings, the more one suffers.
Yes.
So why?
Yes.
Why harm yourself?
Mm. It's constituting the more you're
yeah.
clinging. Exactly, it's true,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? You're clinging to something, then you're clinging to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think another area we've discussed together, which you found a little strange at first, was about how, when we talk about conceit, how even when one considers oneself less important than others, we're used to thinking that this is something good, but actually sometimes if one minds about what other people think of oneself, or one thinks one's less worthy than others, it also still shows the clinging to oneself. I think this was a way of considering, you haven't yet heard of it.
Anything can be object for pride or conceit, like wealth, knowledge, rank, title, beauty, or anything. See? Unwholesome is ready to arise. Anytime, different kinds of defilements. attachment or aversion or ignorance.
It's one's tendency that's the problem, but still conditions immediately for it to arise.
Certainly.
And then, of course, if one minds about one's unwholesome tendency, well, of course, it just makes it worse. It doesn't help at all. But if the other person minds, of course, that's their problem too. But of course, we'd like to get rid of this unwholesome tendency, but it's just conditioned like that.
The I or the self cannot get rid of unwholesomeness because itself is unwholesomeness. But right understanding can perform the function of being wholesome more and more. So it depends on right understanding. Everything is just the retinue of attendance of right understanding. Right understanding is the chief reality.
If you were maybe sort of overly tired, you've been working very hard, you can still always have the right understanding.
Right understanding arises in a moment too. When there is aversion, there is no attachment. When there is right understanding, there is no wrong understanding. So it's momentarily arising, and we know that there are conditions for any kind of reality as long as there are the latent tendencies and the conditions for such and such reality. Like Sarah just said, that even she knows theoretically, but she cannot stop having such because there are still conditions for its arising. That's why Panya should develop, right understanding should develop more in order to be strong, in order to be sharp enough to understand any kind of reality, even at moment of resentment.
Yes.
It's just a reality that no one can control, but it's just that. And then when there's other moment of awareness, it's not there anymore. See, it's gone. And other reality is conditioned to arise.
And minding about it or thinking too much about it is just more unwholesomeness.
Right.
It's useless. Mm-hmm. But I think one thing is that if one is overtired, often it's a condition for more unwholesomeness.
No
but,
excuse.
Exactly.
No excuse. Yeah.
There can still be understanding, there can still be awareness, but by the natural course of things, like if you don't eat a meal, conditioned to be hungry, or you're overtired or work hard, conditioned to be irritable, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an excuse, it's just the natural course of things.
Yeah. That's why even the enlightened one, the first stage, the second stage, cannot get rid of aversion. But by developing more understanding, at the end, this kind of defilement would be eradicated.
And like we said on Sunday, of course we'd all like to get rid of the unpleasantness and the aversion, but what about all the clinging and attachment? That,
which is the cause.
Which is the cause, you know, who cares? Who wants to get rid of the attachment?
Yeah. Yeah. At the same time, you want the result, but you still have the cause.
We just want to have the pleasant and not the unpleasant in our life.
That's why when we have a discussion like this, it helps one to not forget about realities, the more we talk about realities. Otherwise, so many things come in mind.
Sometimes we might also, for example, Leah was talking about at the beginning about, you know, having to go to a party or a cocktail function that actually she doesn't enjoy going to and she really dreads going to and has a long story about beforehand, and I'm the same, so I can understand it. And maybe one knows that the problem is one's thinking and one's dreading, and one knows, oh, it's just realities, and probably when one gets there, it's not so bad, one might enjoy it, but still there are the conditions for the long story and the long thinking. So even though one knows it's useless, still that's one's accumulations, it's conditions
like
that.
That's why it cannot change instantly, but it can gradually change from unwholesome to wholesome realities. Maybe one knows that one doesn't like it, but one has to, so I just enjoy it instead of having unpleasant feeling.
And anyway, you just to know that the real problem is the thinking rather than because the situation is still seeing and hearing, but even just facing up to the thinking of being the problem can help a lot.
And all in all, one comes to understand that it depends on the self again, the clinging to the self. So if this get lesser and lesser, one would be more pleasant because one understands that there is no real self at all. It's just a moment of clinging to I. I like it, I don't like it, always I.
Correct. That would mean that people who, people who become more and more enlightened would have, as it were, less and less to say.
No, not necessarily, depending on one's accumulation. That's why you cannot tell who's who has become enlightened by appearing or physical or what that person is doing or speech, because it's mentally. It can arise when right understanding can penetrate through nature of reality. Because hearing cannot stay, seeing cannot stay, it arises by conditions. So it's so true that it can be directly experienced because it's real. So one knows that there must be the way to develop understanding of all these realities until there can be a moment of penetration, the true nature of realities. Without self who is trying, but it's the development of wisdom little by little. One has to be so patient, and one sees the value of being patient. Great patience is to develop understanding of reality. The longest patience too. Comparing with other things is so very little. It's like the blind who just is tricked to become the one who is not blind. Little by little, one can see reality. Even there is light, one does not understand reality as it is when there is no right understanding. So how dark it is when there is no understanding of reality. Not knowing anything in one's life from morning to night.
But it's there all the time. To be known.
Yes, all the time. One cannot escape from reality in daily life at all. And one is not enslaved by clinging to self or idea or notion, because one knows that no matter what kind of belief, it's only thinking. If there is no thinking, how there be such and such idea? And when one sees, when one can hear, when one can think, but one does not develop understanding. So pitiful that one let go all these realities with ignorance and clinging.
All those wasted opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's such very long and difficult to even understand reality as it is. Even theoretically, intellectually. For example, visible object. It appears, but how can there be so sharp understanding to see that it's like looking in the mirror? There is no one noticing in the mirror at all. But we see many things in the mirror, see? Like now we see many people and things by thinking about different colors. So one can see how one has much ignorance about visible object and thinking. We can say also that world exists only in a moment, because we think of the solid world while just visible object appears, sound appears, see, just one characteristic at a time. So how can there be the big solid world? So it takes, or it needs courage, very brave to understand reality as nothing, nobody, just pure reality. One loses the whole self in one's life. And one is quite relieved when there is no self, no worry about self. And in reality, it's conditioned.
Also, visible object arises close to.
So it takes long, long time to develop understanding until reality appears as it is, as just very short in a moment.
It will help one to understand cause and result because...
Now this moment is conditioned as result. No one can stop seeing. It has to arise. Because what conditioned I sense, see? Without karma, nothing can condition I sense because there is no I sense here, there is no I sense there, but there is I sense here. No matter one likes or not, it's there by conditions. Even while one sleeps, it's there by conditions. But not the same one, the new one all the time. Because karma can stop producing the I sense anytime. Then one becomes blind, deaf, so forth. Unpredictable, because we cannot know the previous cause to produce this result of this moment.
What about conventional result, like things that happen because we made a decision some time ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one came to Hong Kong, or
yes,
one applied for this job, or one didn't apply mm-hmm. for that job, or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't those decisions that we have made in our life affect the results that we receive?
Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, the day we went to New Territory, see, no expectation for the car to be like that, see? Because we think of going and coming, only that. But what happened? Did you tell Kunle about that?
We had a New World Hotel, brand new Mercedes on the way down. Way back, it broke down. And we pushed back to the hotel.
Who knows? See? You can think a lot, but what really happened depending on conditions.
If you'd gone 10 minutes later in another car,
mm-hmm.
then
by conditions again, because you have done not just one or two or thousand or million causes of karma. You have done more than that in years and years ago. So who knows? But whatever arises, one knows that there must be conditions for its arising, for sure.
So do you think it's useful, though, sometimes to reflect on what one has done and why one did it, to try and work out where...
No, just understand this moment.
...which decisions were correct ones and which...
No, just understand this moment that
useful.
it's a reality which experiences, not you who try or who want to see, but it's just an element which sees.
But we can learn from experience,
like
past mistakes.
That is thinking.
One could say, for example, if I'm teaching a class and I do X, Y, and Z, it brings a certain conventional good result. But then maybe one time I do A, B, and C and the result isn't so good. So I think about it and I analyze it and decide, well, X, Y, Z
mm-hmm.
work more effectively. So just on a conventional level, in order to bring a conventionally good result, it's good
mm-hmm.
to think and consider and reflect mm-hmm. and go over and plan in more detail.
Yeah. We will say wise thinking conditioned by previous accumulation, because there can be wise thinking or unwise thinking by accumulations.
What is wise thinking and what is unwise thinking?
It knows the cause and the result conventionally. About the student, about the way, about things, planning,
mm-hmm.
things like that. But actually, it's only thinking.
Well, maybe in the same way one might think or consider why this happened or why I got this promotion or didn't get this promotion, and one thinks one should analyze it so that one doesn't do the thing that prevents it next time. So conventionally,
that is
useful.
It
depends a bit on one's purpose. And if one's purpose is just to analyze and work it out, it may have that result. But
when I say wise attention or wise thinking, it doesn't mean that it's right understanding.
No, just useful for that purpose. Uh-huh. But sometimes I might know, okay, well, if I reflect on my teaching and work out that it's best to do A, B, and C, this will have a result, but maybe next time it will and maybe it won't. And if one clings a lot to thinking one can control the situation by thinking and performing a certain action.
One knows that it is condition for such result.
It's one condition,
One condition. But when it turns up, you know, there can be extra conditions to turn it different ways. We don't know. Like the Mercedes-Benz, extra condition.
We were talking one time in one of our Sunday discussions about how when everything's going well for one and one's feeling comfortable and one's family and work situation is comfortable, it's much easier at those times to perform good act and to behave generously and have metta for everyone and behave nicely. But of course the test is when things aren't all going well and when life is difficult.
Yeah.
When one's tired, it seems to be a condition for a lot more unwholesomeness or useless thinking. And the opposite is when things are going well, then it seems a lot easier to lead a good life and be very generous and smile and be pleasant.
The same word, no excuse. Otherwise there could be lots of excuse to be unwholesome. It depends on conditions. Life is so short, very, very short. Why do we think a lot about the world and Thailand and Hong Kong and colony and things like that?
Clean.
When it exists only in a moment, it's so very short. And the same to everyone, no matter how many years old or...
We all know, at least in theory, that really all that matters is developing understanding of realities, and all the other things we find so important are home and clothes and money and job and promotion. All these things are so unimportant, and yet tomorrow morning we go to work and suddenly these other things become so important because
Certainly. Of
such strong accumulation of clinging.
Certainly, because there are conditions for such thought more than conditions for
useful
understanding.
Thoughts.
Yeah,
yes.
That's why it has to really take time, like, how do you say, holding the knives?
Knife handle. Slowly wearing down the knife handle.
Yeah.
And not just one lifetime, because I've spent more than half of my present lifetime studying the Dharma and skillet.
But you don't know that when time comes and when it's accumulated, the result is there. Unexpectedly, if you expect, then it's not the right one.
It's useless.
Mm-hmm. It's like hearing now. Who knows that this sound will contact the ear sense and there is hearing now. Who knows?
No, one thing one does know, it at a moment of understanding or wholesomeness, you know, at that moment the mind is calm for an instant.
But still, there shouldn't be clinging to that calm either. The teaching or the right understanding is for detachment only. Really detach from clinging, see? It's so reasonable, detachment from clinging, because clinging is unwholesome ignorance. Clinging to what? Each moment has risen and fallen away. So cling to what? Where's myself, the seeing previous moment, completely gone, hearing? So no I to be cling to be clung to.
Some people, I don't know if it was, I don't think it's, it was you, I think it was one of the others in a discussion, some people say they find the idea of developing detachment from reality, they think it sounds very cold or impersonal or afraid of losing some personality or something like this.
I think that because they don't know yet what right understanding is and what's the usefulness of right understanding, comparing to wrong understanding. Should we have wrong understanding? Or should we have right understanding? Wrong understanding of what? Of reality which appears now. Should we think, just think about the story of it as not it is, like thinking not of hardness as hardness, but of something that you like very much. See? What you like is hardness and sight and sound and smell and taste. That's all. Which cannot stay. So should we cling to the impermanent realities?
I think it's also because people think that clinging is very colorful, but they don't realize that clinging is
dangerous.
Dangerous, like fire. You know, fire mm-hmm. is very, very colorful, but very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Because it's one's nature from birth to cling. Otherwise, there wouldn't be rebirth at all. And Arahata will not be reborn because there is no clinging. But as soon as one was born, the first javana or process is clinging to the being, no matter where and who you are. Instantly, one does not have to do anything. It arises all the time by ignorance. But in order to have less, there must be the development of understanding, because nothing can eradicate clinging at all. No matter how much you try, you can go away, but it's there. It's there. It's I all the time. When there is I, it indicates that there is strong understanding of realities, because no realities are I. Seeing is not, hearing is not, thinking is not, feeling is not.
Is the concept of a reality of not self, and implicitly thereby no soul or no God or no being, is that something that is difficult for you at all because of the way you've been brought up or the way you've considered?
Yes.
You can.
I think that to everyone, not only to Khun Lea, because when we talk to the Thai, even they say that, oh, I don't take anything for self, not mine, like Buddha Dasa or things like that.
Even but, though they are Buddha and
yeah,
theory
but they don't realize that at that moment
still they cling to
there is clinging. Yeah. So when there is clinging to the being, there must be other being as well, see? Yeah. So there must be idea of something. Some Buddhists would say that, oh, there's spirit that's so kind and things like that.
Yes.
See?
So even if you're brought up in a religion with no self, still you try to find
it. It depends on understanding, right or wrong.
Yes.
And the one who can really have right understanding to the degree that have no wrong understanding of self must be the enlightened one of the first stage. Otherwise, it can come in any time. Like a lady, she's about 94 years old, listened to my program, and when I went to visit her last time in July, she's so happy. And she said that, oh, once I was so very sick, but I still have wrong practice of asking from a spirit that if she had recovered from her illness, she would so and so and so. And then it happened like that. And she confessed that, oh, it's still, even I believe in karma and cause and effect, but still, sometimes the wrong practice can come in any time. Foundation of understanding. Because one has to become the enlightened one yet. So there must be sometimes, as there are conditions to do such and such thing, or such and such thought can come in. Anytime. So it depends on the development of understanding, whether it's sharp enough and what amount, whether this or that can condition such right or wrong thinking. Common to everyone, no matter what race, what nationality, what religion, because of the idea of self brings one towards something that one thinks that, oh, that is higher or can do something. But in reality, I think that the understanding of the present moment can bring more understanding of the truth. Otherwise, it's only the sixth Dawe, thinking and thinking again.
Okay, well, I'll ask Leah, not because of the way background or anything, but just because of what she has heard or considered. Do you find it difficult to accept? Or?
No, I think, but it reminds me a little, I keep thinking of an alcoholic. An alcoholic is always an alcoholic, because every moment he knows that the next moment he could take a drink and fall up, you know, become an alcoholic again. The recovering alcoholic, see that they always. And I think like that, I think
when one's had so much wrong view, any moment one can forget what is right.
Yes.
And I visualize as you develop, you might get an odd moment where you are almost enlightened, but it won't last, and you fall away again, and then you pick up again, and then you fall away again. I understand the sense that that one thing struck me, Constantine. I mentioned to Sarah occasionally, and it's a very strange sensation of myself as I get older, a sense of, but then you see, even this what I'm going to say brings in the idea itself, the idea that a sense of moving away from the world as I get older, a sort of sense of as though the things of the worldly things become less important and one moves away from it. But you see, even that, Sarah, that sensation I have, is again a self.
Well, is it just a kind of thinking, do you think, you know, like if one thinks is moving away or one is distant, is it?
It can be like that, because one changes from previous situation to another, like or dislike. But still, when there is no understanding of reality, one cannot say that it's wisdom or right understanding.
Exactly.
But it's one's accumulation, because everyone has all kinds of accumulation. So it depends on environment and situation and what happens in life that move one from one life to another life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So one knows that that is not understanding.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that is understanding, to know that that is not understanding.
Not understanding.
I can see that.
Yes.
I think the analogy you drew between like being an alcoholic or recovering alcoholic is actually very apt, because in fact it's only someone who has reached the first stage of enlightenment who is actually sure to stay on the right path and develop more understanding. Until that point, one can have actually developed a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom, be very clear, have a very clear idea of what is useful or not, and yet, by conditions, one can go completely off track and have unhappy rebirths and forget everything that is useful. And there's one, Khunsa Chin can tell it better, one story. I remember this is the sutta that Alan Driver used to say was his favorite sutta, the one about the man who, when he was born, according to his accumulations and wisdom, he could have become an arahat. He could have become fully enlightened. But what happened was he started to drink, I think. He started to drink, and can you say what happened? And anyway, he started to drink, and then it turned out he wouldn't be ever able to get off further than the first stage of enlightenment, for example. And then because of the drinking, he started to tell lies or follow other kinds of unwholesomeness. And in the end, he didn't develop any stage of enlightenment, but he had the accumulations. But in other words, Yes, unless one's wisdom is really strong, one can go off track at any point, when not just you or me or John, I mean anyone. And one can see for oneself that can happen. I mean, one can go through a phase of a lot of useful considering and with a lot of understanding, and then go through a phase in one's life when it seems like one's living in a darkness with no useful reflection and just overwhelmed by one's own unwholesomeness.
And part of the wisdom is to know, carry on, that that's part of the wisdom comes in this occasionally falling, rising again, as it were, into understanding.
It's like one had planted lots of plants, different kinds, and it depends on what fertilizer one give to such and such plant.
It would be, I think, what you say is it's an, because it's an instant time, rising and falling. It's a constant rising and falling, so one can never be sure from this moment to the next where it is. That's the problem.
But if we understand that in one's life, if we divide life in a day into two sections, the section of vipaka and the section of the cause karma, one can understand that, that seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, these are the result. Because everyone would like to have pleasant results, but it depends on karma, what would happen through eyes, ears, nose, tongue in a day. But after that, aversion or attachment or wholesomeness or unwholesomeness are the new causes for the next experiences, sooner or later. That can condition one to do good deeds and to see the danger of unwholesomeness or ill deeds.
It's very important to hear the reminders and to be with people, or you know, where there are conditions to hearing useful things.
Yes.
Because otherwise, if one's just with the colleagues who kind of encourage unwholesomeness, it's so easy to become like that or to go off track, isn't it?
But I suppose again, as that's we've talked about this before, is to have the wholesomeness in the unwholesome situation.
It indicates that one has developed higher and stronger wholesomeness, that it can arise at any situation, to anyone too, not only to
but
the
one
good
needs,
ones.
One needs a lot of reminders like this in order to
and develops too, not just reminding, because when time comes and one realizes that, oh, this is kindness or this is anger, what is the use of anger? No use at all. No matter what that person has done, so what about this moment, kindness or aversion?
So instead of putting your foot out and tripping him up, you show some kindness. Yes.
And it will bring good result to both when we don't scold and we don't beat and we don't use harsh words. It saves many harmful incidents.
Yes, absolutely. I like the idea of the wholesome.
Is that the right word, wholesome?
Yes, I think it's very wholesome.
Is there a better word?
No, I think that's just wholesome.
Some would say healthy or unhealthy. Which one is better?
Oh. I like the sound of wholesome.
Lee is a very good person to ask all your language questions to, Constantine, because we've heard it so for so long that it sounds just the way we use
Do you
it.
Have a thesaurus?
I think I have, but I don't have time to.
Yes, it's very useful. Let's see what it says under wholesome. Yeah. I think what I like about wholesome, it's with a sense of clean and pure.
I see. So it's good for
sometimes
kusala.
We use skillful. How does that sound to you? Wholesome sounds.
Wholesome sounds very good to me. It's a word I must try and remember in the sense of my thoughts, wholesome thoughts. as a Catholic, you're brought up to pure thoughts,
yes.
pure opens
mm-hmm.
in mind and body.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's the same idea, but wholesome is a bit of more. Purity suggests sort of idealism. Wholesome to me suggests a living thing.
Yes.
More homespun.
And what about arising and falling away? Should it be arising and passing away?
I think falling away.
I think of up and down.
Yes.
If I use arising and falling away. But no, citta cannot arise like this.
Especially you could say it comes and goes.
Comes and goes is the best
comes
word.
Comes and goes. And goes. But I like the idea of the rise and fall away, because I think that probably is a sense of more of motion about it. Comes and goes. It's less.
Appears and disappears. I don't know the best word for the
abuse. But I know what you mean. Some people, they see too much of the rising and falling.
Right.
The coming and go, the comes and goes.
Mm-hmm. Unnoticeable. Just
how about a visible object or colour to explain that which is seen? What would you visible object or
yes.
colour? I'm just interested to know what the here would because she comes with a clear
mm-hmm.
mind,
yes.
so it's
the visible. I suppose
and she's very well read, so she's
form and colour.
We all know that what we experience through the ear is sound, without having to
think of a special word.
Think of a special word for it.
But sight, but we see shapes and forms and colour.
Before, what about the visible object? Because color is visible,
yes.
form is visible,
yes.
and if we see it, shape and form is thinking.
Yes, I was just going to say that was the very thought in my mind.
As soon as there's an idea of shape
mm-hmm.
and form, it's something other than
mm-hmm.
just that which is seen.
Actually, most people say we see objects or people.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if we talk about color, shape and form, that's one sort of stage. Remove from that. But
I think we have to just say visible object.
I think visible object is probably
mm-hmm.
as good as any, yes.
Because people might think of different colours when we see, say, colour.
Mm.
That
yes,
it has
I find
to,
for myself, mm. I don't find colour is a good word.
But colour also is seen too.
But colour is also immediately there is an idea of
something,
whereas visible object
mm-hmm.
is clearly just
mm-hmm.
that which is seen.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I like to use either visible object or that which is seen, that which is seen. Because otherwise, when you talk about, all you see is colour, then people have an idea of something that is seen that is different from what is seen. They have an idea of a blank red or a blank. Whereas what one has to understand is what is seen is exactly what is seen.
Mm-hmm.
So to my mind, colour is confusing.
What about light?
Well, I think light is confusing. Otherwise, people think that they have to start being aware of some flash of light or something. People get the wrong idea.
Even darkness is visible
object. Yeah, it's a shade of light.
So lightness, immediately
mm-hmm.
people think of a light or something.
No light.
Or bright light, or I think just that which is seen. Or
seems to be what we see is light, different shades of light.
Even if it's dark.
Even if it's dark.
I see. Dark is also light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what is light which is different from darkness?
In some words, wholesome, nourishing, beneficial, healthy, salubrious.
Beneficial is possible is a good word, beneficial.
Wholesome, I think that it bears
mean
for many meanings.
Beneficial is a good alternative, I think.
Sometimes
I think
in terms of worldly benefits.
Beneficial. I think beneficial is quite good. I like it. Sometimes we might say non-harmful, just to show how it's the moment that doesn't hurt anyone or oneself, because so
that's why there are also many words for one word in Pali.
Yes.
Yeah. It means so and so.
To bring
such,
out different aspects.
Uh-huh.
sometimes Kunzu Chin, this is really just sort of what we've been talking about, but just bringing out another aspect. Sometimes with my work, I just feel so overwhelmed with the work or the business. Sometimes when so busy and so much to do, and I have papers and faxes and phone calls, and it's like there has to be so much thinking and so much organizing, and sometimes my head is spinning in circles and there isn't the thinking and the organizing, it's not going to get sorted out. And at these times when one seems so overwhelmed, it seems that one's in another world from having calm, careful,
even now, even now, when there is the awareness and right understanding of reality, you are in the world of
stories.
Yes. You cannot escape from this world, which comes in between the five doorways all the time.
I think that's the point you make about meditation. This idea of meditation is the point I've always felt about people going off and being nuns and monks. I think it's better to be in the world, in the world of problems and difficulties, because the best way...
The real world.
That's the test, is it? Not exactly the test. Again, I keep thinking, you know, everything I say, it means that there's an I, you know. I think that's why I like some of the concepts, is that they are part of our world, as it were. Mm-hmm.
It has
brought
to.
Into our
yeah.
world.
Otherwise, we
world.
Cannot sit, we cannot... talk, we cannot do anything at all without the moment of thinking of concept, yes. But the understanding of concept as concept helps one to see that there is nothing but these realities, only these, in one's life, no matter this life or next life.
I think what happens is we attach more importance to certain realities than others. For example, if I'm overwhelmed with my business and so busy, then I think, oh, it'd be so nice to go and sit on the beach and smoothie or something. Well, this is thinking and attachment. And then if I'm in the beach and smoothie, okay, well, maybe there are much pleasanter thoughts and there's time for more reflection on the Dharma.
More clinging.
More clinging. What I was going to say is the reality, even if it's pleasant feeling instead of unpleasant feeling, but it's no more worthy, it's still just a moment, just a reality. It's not any more real understanding, it's just changing one set of realities for another because one finds a set more important or one clings more to them, but ultimately it's no more useful or beneficial, to use the new word.
That's why even a very short moment of awareness of reality, one knows that this is the beginning of attending to the characteristic of reality and developing understanding. See, no matter now or at small or when you teach your students, because right awareness cannot arise at will. When there are conditions for its arising, it's there. And you cannot direct awareness to such and such object because it is aware by itself of a certain object. Very natural, and you know that everything is anatta, even awareness also is anatta. So you will not cling to awareness very much or would like very much to change yourself, because it's the development of understanding of any reality that awareness is aware of, even right now.
Sometimes I know for myself, and also I think for Leah, sometimes we have the idea, or you know, something is difficult in our life, or we feel that our work isn't appreciated, or something. We think it'd be better if we were doing some other kind of work, or if we were writing books for me, writing books on Dharma, or for Leah, going off and being a missionary in Africa, or something like this. But again, it just shows one's strong clinging, I think, to oneself when the thinking is...
So one can say that without the development of understanding of reality, nothing is helpful at all. It brings more and more self-thinking of such and such, don't understand that it's only thinking, but what one is doing is not thinking. Seeing is not thinking, hearing is not thinking. Understanding reality is not thinking. One can think like a dream a lot, but whether the dream is true or not, who knows? It depends on condition each moment. We can talk a lot about future, but what happens next, we don't know, next moment. stroke or anything. See?
So cannot stop the dreams, but good to know they're only dreams and not of any useful purpose at all.
And understanding reality which is conditioned and has a reason.
Just as long as you know if you do your right and right, were to go to Africa as a missionary, I'm not doing it for the self, for my own satisfaction, in that sense that one still can think of those conventional things, that it's not going to resolve the problem. You have to face, understand the reality.
Yes, I mean, the most, if you want to even think about what is the most useful thing to do in one's life, ultimately the most useful thing in one's life is not being a missionary in Africa, rescuing refugees out of the water, writing books on Buddhism even. The most useful thing is a moment of understanding now, because there's only now. So whether whatever one's lifestyle, whether one's writing books on Buddhism or working as a missionary in Africa, it still comes back to seeing at the present moment.
And as long as you understand that, there's nothing wrong in doing the conventional things like wanting to go to Africa. One should do all those things.
But realise it doesn't mean one's going to be a better person or lead a better life.
That's not going to produce the understanding.
No.
Because to me, I think that I'd like to have the precise understanding of anything that we are talking about. I just don't want to let go vaguely or vainly. For instance, when we talk about reality, I'd like to really know what it is, and should we really use that word to represent its characteristic, like reality must be real. It is real, no matter who knows it or understands it or not. For example, seeing is real. It performs the function of seeing at the moment of seeing only, and it passes away, falls away completely, whether who knows it, about it or not. See, I would like to really understand, for example, visible object at moment of seeing deeply, in order to really understand it. Its characteristic can be seen because there are eight rupas, eight classes of corporality or materiality together, arising together, like solidity and hardness, softness, and so on, and with smell, taste. But only one characteristic can be seen. So we can develop more and think more to understand more, aware more about this characteristic, that it cannot stay alone or it has to arise with other rupa as well, something like that. See, by developing more and more understanding of what we use in daily life, like visible object or sound or seeing or loving kindness, all are realities. So when they are realities, it means that no body in it, no thing in it. It has its own characteristic, its own function, its own manifestation, and its own proximate cause. In order to really get closer to understand whenever it arises, because now many realities arise unknowingly without being aware, not being understood either. But when there is awareness, it's there, see, like sound and hearing and seeing invisible object and thinking as well. So each reality should be understood closer and closer, sharper and sharper too.
The benefit of knowing that each rupa arises in a group of rupas, what is the benefit?
To see that there are many rupas, but only one rupa can be seen.
Why does it?
Its characteristic is like sound. Sound cannot touch the eye, it cannot touch the body sense, it can touch only ear sense. So we see the different qualities of rupa, that each one has its own sense and function, like ear sense is one characteristic.
But to know that there are other rupas that actually, even though that only the sound appears at that moment, to know that there are other rupas arising with it, if the characteristic of sound appears and there's awareness of it, why does it matter that in fact in the background there are these other rupas arising within.
Because there is no understanding of what conditions sound, so we take sound for granted all the time and think of sound as some voice or something, some instrument. But in reality, it's just a reality like other reality, so that we'll see that it cannot stay. It is not anyone's voice. It's just a reality that can be experienced.
In order to develop more detachment from it, could one say the same thing that, for example, if loba appears at the moment, one knows that even though loba appears at this moment, sorry, loba is clinging, even though clinging appears at this moment, one knows that at that moment there are also the accumulations of other mental factors at that moment, but only this one is appearing. Is it so that one realizes that so many tendencies have been accumulated, but only conditions for this one?
To understand that life exists only in a moment, only to separate the whole big world into just a moment, which cannot be taken for anything at all.
If there is there's more understanding developed more keenly of that visible object or clinging deeper and deeper, knowing in theory that there are other realities arising with it, does that help to understand the arising, falling away of that reality?
Because we can say ignorance, attachment, aversion many, many times. But whenever it arises, there is no understanding, no awareness.
To understand the conditions for it more precisely in that moment. We talk about a visible object appearing but actually arising in a group. Because, of course, only one reality can ever appear at a time. So it seems that it must always be theoretical only that it arises in a group. So if it's only theoretical, that means it can never be proved, so it's only understanding something in theory. So how can this actually help one to understand that characteristic?
By developing the understanding of visible object when there is seeing only.
But if one understands the visible object
as visible object, that's enough. Yeah.
But that won't ever help one to know that actually, even though it's visible object that appears, that in fact it arises in a group, because it's only visible object that appears. One's never going to at that moment have any awareness of the hardness or the other rupas arising with it. So by knowing visible object,
it helps one to get rid of the idea of people and things, because one realizes what one takes for Sarah and things are only visible objects.
You mean the awareness of visible objects?
Yes.
But what about the story of actually there is a group of rupas?
That's thinking about visible objects.
It's only thinking about it. But that will not be ever known directly other than by thinking that in fact there is a group. Is that right?
But one used to take visible object for things. But when there is understanding of visible object, one realizes that actually, it's pure visible object, no thing, no being in it.
Is it because if there is awareness of visible object for a moment and another moment of sound, that one realizes in fact the group of rupas must appear together? But it seems because the understanding is not deep enough, it seems that it's only visible object at that moment.
For example, when one is playing piano and you think that it's the sound of piano or sound of drum, orchestra and things like that, but actually it's just a moment of experiencing sound.
But you were worried about the awareness of the other rupas.
Well, in theory we know that only one reality can ever appear at a time. But we also know from our Abhidharma study that in fact, even though we say only one reality appears, only visible object or sound appears, that in fact at any moment one rupa on its own cannot arise. In fact, there is always at least a minimum of 8 rupas arising as a bundle, but only one characteristic can appear or can be the object of awareness. So what is not clear to me. If there is understanding or awareness for a moment of visible object, it's quite clear. Visible object is the object of awareness. There's no piano, there's no people, mm-hmm. there's no Jonathan for that moment. Mm-hmm. And immediately after, stories yeah. and piano mm-hmm. and lots of Darun. Mm-hmm. But at that moment of awareness of visible object, there is certainly no idea of a bundle of other rupas arising with it, or alternately. So knowing in theory that in fact there is a bundle of rupas, maybe it helps one to understand in theory the conditioned nature of the visible object and the fact that it's only one appearing to. But it seems that this understanding is in fact it's only a bundle of rupa, or that it's only
it
one.
Disintegrate all eight rupas as something, because since there are eight rupas, like this eight rupas, but you take it for table. But when only one characteristic appears, it will disintegrate all the concept, the group.
So this helps one just to understand why it is that one takes it for a table, mm-hmm. because there are in fact this combination of eight rupas that mm-hmm. one takes for being mm-hmm. the table. Mm-hmm. So, and by understanding one
characteristic.
So it, but again, it's like at the moment of awareness of visible object, there's no idea of table or mm-hmm. thing or people.
Yeah.
But it seems just theoretical. Oh, and the reason this happened is because there is this bundle of rupas. But if awareness is aware of visible mm-hmm. object, it seems that that is enough. Because at that moment, there is no table or no idea.
Right.
So why does it help to know that it's a bundle of
rupas? Because usually they cannot appear just one characteristic. For example, after seeing, there can be the experiencing of hardness. So you can see that these are combination, composition of what you take for something, that it can be experienced directly as just one characteristic at a time which arises and falls away. It will get less and less of the concept of something because of the understanding more about these five dharmas. Because you cannot get rid of idea instantly.
I don't know if I'm being dense, but if you say to me there are eight different rupas and one appears at any moment and it's the object of awareness, and at that moment there's no idea table, this is clear. And also from experience at a moment of awareness, it's only harness, it's only visible object, there's no people or thing. So this is no problem mm-hmm. at all. But I wonder how it is useful to know in theory that in fact at the moment of visible object, in fact there is this bundle. It doesn't help me at all.
Because it's not the whole sara, but it's only dust, group of dust, heap of dust, mm-hmm. with eight rupas, and some group more than eight, 10, 12, 13, see? Only
but
that.
But all that will ever be directly experienced is mm-hmm. visible object for mm-hmm. a moment,
yeah.
hardness
yeah.
for a moment,
it proves,
soundness for a moment.
Yeah, it proves
so,
that what
so
I used to take for...
to say, yeah. oh, Sarah is this
yeah.
bundle.
So it proves that what I take for Sarah at moment of seeing is only visible object.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking at visible object.
Sure.
Thinking
sure.
about visible
sure.
object, see?
Having stories mm-hmm. about visible
yeah.
object.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a lot deeper or more complex, and then the more details, and one hears a whole set of new details or reads a set, and at first it seems very theoretical, but then one begins to find that in fact the more details, the more conditions for deeper or more precise understanding to develop. It's not enough just to understand visible object. It's a very complex subject. And people think, it sounds so theoretical. But of course, one has to understand theoretically in the beginning for deeper understandings to grow. I mean, if one's never heard that everything that one calls Sera or Leah is only seeing a visible object, there would be no conditions for awareness of those realities. So it's always the theoretical understanding has to precede the direct understanding.
This takes a lot of time to study.
more interesting.
More complicated.
More bewildering.
Ignorance is not difficult because it doesn't know anything at all. It doesn't have to think, it doesn't have to consider, it doesn't have to dig up and up, down and down, deeper and deeper.
Sometimes I feel, well, I've heard enough, or okay, if there is conditions for moments of awareness, okay, it's awareness for a moment of sound or visible object or thinking, and this seems fine, and that moment is calm, and I think, well, it's enough, maybe I don't need to hear or read any more theoretical detail. So one just feels very complacent. Oh, okay, so this enough understanding of what is the right path and what is wrong, and maybe there's not very much understanding or awareness, but still, why is it necessary to understand deeper and deeper?
Because that's the truth. This is very superficial.
Mm-hmm. Kindergarten.
Otherwise, Buddha wouldn't teach for 45 years in details for people today who cannot become enlightened when just listen few words only. We need to read and consider, and many things like Abhidhamma and Suttanta and Vinaya, to understand what the real teaching is, just for detachment from ignorance, from clinging, which are the source of sufferings, birth, decay, death. But it's against the current, because people cling to seeing, hearing, smell. Tomorrow we'll go and see Macau, see? But we couldn't help seeing and attachment as long as there are conditions for its arising. But there can be the development of understanding of absolute realities. So we don't try to force when it's not our nature to become monk or nun. Because in order to become a monk or a nun, some might not realize that it's not just because you want to be good monk or good nun, but it means that you are ready to detach, really detach from household life, lay life. But if we still want to watch TV, useless to try to be good one when you still want to. And it's like forcing oneself so hard without understanding. So many people cannot live comfortably because of their desire, attachment. So there are many rules that they have broken. That's why Buddha said, or how do you say it, for Vinaya? To set the rule?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah? Set so many rules.
Mm-hmm, yeah. When we
lay down,
read Vinaya, we can understand how much one's defilements can do such and such and wholesome things.
But you could say perhaps, well, one has attachment and one wants to watch TV, so one turns it on. I mean, that doesn't matter at all because of seeing and sort of
objects. This is lay life.
And it can develop understanding as lay life. On the other hand, one could say, well, if one turns on this TV, maybe just like having this discussion here will be a condition for useful reflection. One could say turning on TV may be just a condition for more attachment. So even though it doesn't matter because understanding can develop,
but for one could say for months they detach all lay life style.
Yes.
No TV, no football. Yes. No.
So they will say, well, this is good because they're not encouraging this kind of attachment.
But they cannot stop their desire to watch.
No. Mm-hmm. So they may have just a strong desire to watch.
So they don't realize that it's not just because they want to be good monk, but they should realize whether they are ready and they are really detached from lay life, even not completely like Arahata, but they have the accumulation to detach from lay life, just that. Truly, honestly, not for respect, not for other things like
motives.
Mm-hmm.
When something I'm just interested to raise is something you often mention, Leah, and I'm not sure what I think about it, but I'm interested just to raise it. It came up briefly when we were talking on Sunday about how some people cannot be on their own quietly and feel they must almost be busy and doing other things. And I think you have the idea that maybe it's good if one can be quiet and on one's own and satisfied with one's own company. But could one say this, or could one just say it's different accumulations?
Different accumulations. Not necessary at all. Because one can become enlightened even at the moment of watching TV, it indicates that it's real panya, that is so sharp that it can understand reality at any time, at any situation. Otherwise, it cannot be considered as the highly developed one. Because it's so afraid, what's the difference between watching TV and reading newspaper? Or tour and things like that, they cannot just do alone or go alone because of their accumulation. It's so lonesome for them to eat just with relative and friend. They want more company.
Yes.
Yeah.
They want some stimulation.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Maybe one doesn't explain it very well. What I think is maybe like something like this is very worthwhile, very, very stimulating, interesting. Maybe, as you say, it doesn't really matter. I will get terribly worried when I hear these people like to join this and do that. Barbara's mentioning, they go and bowl and then they go and marches and all this stuff. Well, fair enough, as you say, so what? They could still be as enlightened as everybody else. Just seems to me that enlightenment seems to be the thing that...
The highly developed panya that can penetrate the true nature of reality at any time, of any characteristic, so it can be considered as the developed panya, or right understanding. Yeah. Otherwise, so very low level, it cannot understand that there are six doorways only.
Could we say that being on one's own is more likelihood of useful reflection? And
I don't encourage anyone to try to be different from one's accumulation.
In other words, within the context of your own personality, your own your own style, you can develop, which is a very nice thought.
So that you can know your true self, what you have really accumulated. Otherwise, you try to change, you cannot understand your accumulation.
And if someone has accumulations, like maybe Barbara, to join a lot of activities and be busy,
yes.
and then they try to force themselves to sit quietly, it's not natural. And ultimately, in terms of developing understanding, one can't say that one lifestyle is more or less worthy than the other.
And enlightenment can, as you say, can be found equally in that situation. Barbara can develop.
Because it's right understanding, so it can understand realities as they are.
That's a very nice thought, actually.
And actually, if one has the idea that this lifestyle is more or less worthy than the other, it causes problems for oneself, because one tends to then make value judgments or compare or look down upon or think that someone's leading such a good life because of this or that. But again, it's forgetting about reality at this moment, or wholesomeness at this moment, I think.
Well, you know, with me, I get times when, if I've been with people a lot, I have to. It's almost like a need. It's something very deep in me. I must go off on my own for a while. Because I feel as I'm bombarded with comment and talk and things happening. I have to go away then, as it were, sort of let it all, I think, crystallize and think about things. And then I'm back again and I'm all right. But that's why I find it very difficult to go in a group traveling or anything, because I need to turn alone.
That's why you won't get her to Thailand very easily also.
There can be development of understanding of any reality, and life become more natural and natural because you understand the situation that you cannot avoid having company, like being invited to dinner, things like that. So it's just anywhere, anytime. Then there's awareness and understanding, and then concept, and then awareness and understanding. It's like that.
But still, one could say it's also good to know one's own tendency. Yes. So if one has a tendency to, one needs to be quiet, or one likes to be quiet.
That is a kind of clinging, right? But when there is understanding with awareness, one will be...
Less will it matter whether one's on one's own or...
Yeah.
Because like Barbara may cling a lot to being with a group, and you may cling a lot to being on your own, but in fact they're just different kinds of...
But later on it's exactly the same. People are whisper objects, and even we don't like to experience different objects as different beings, but it's there, and then there's awareness, and then it's gone. Finish your day.
So it's like that. We went on a bus, we went out one day to the park, wherever it was in the country. Sarah and I were the whole day. I think we were talking about having a sort of, I had a vision, sort of a quiet day out for a walk and a bus ride, and I asked the the whole day people talked to me. This lady and that lady and somebody. I thought at the end of the day, I'm exhausted with all these people talking at me.
Yes, but when there is no people, only sound, it's all right, because sound is conditioned, so it's just sound. See?
But you have the difficulty, you have to, yes, I understand.
It helps a lot.
You have to respond to the sound, unfortunately, use your brain. And
because of thought and thinking. Yes. Otherwise, it's only sound and then other realities.
Conventionally, we might say, though, I mean, Leah and I would say that we're busy in our work and we're busy with people and things all the time, and we need some quiet time just to cut off and to relax, otherwise we would just be too exhausted and then we can't do our work properly. Of course there is a lot of clinging, that's why we're disappointed if we don't have that time, but also one could say that one needs it conventionally just to...
All right, because you like that, it's your tendency or accumulation. But when you have more compassion and more kindness, you forget about yourself and you can spend time very wholesome more. Or sometimes unwholesome more.
Most,
we don't know.
Most of it is clinging to oneself.
Like sometimes I went to ballet or things like that with my sister and my niece, things like that. But I just want to stay home and listen to the program, Dharma program. But if they like, okay, I go. And there can be moment of understanding sound and anything, exactly the same. Instead of wanting to listen to the program, who knows what would happen, see? Awareness can be aware of reality at any time. So just follow the stream of vipaka pleasantly, just being glad.
I think what one can say is, yes, when one minds, when one wants to be on one's own or one wants to be with other people, it, as you say, it just shows the clinging only. You know, one can justify it and say, well, if I do this, then this will happen. But
so the best thing is to develop understanding. That can cure. The other thing can not help as much.
All the other ideas we have of what's best and worst. It's just clinging and stories with this.
But is it not possible to say to your sister, well, I know you'd love to go to the ballet. I'd prefer to stay home and listen to my program. Do you mind? And then that gives her a chance to...
I asked her to ask other sister, but then there's none I go. But if someone can go substitute, then I stay home. I try my best. And I don't feel unpleasant.
And also, one thing I noticed about Kun Su Jin is she doesn't mind her clinging at all. If I say, oh, would you like to go to this restaurant, what would you like to do today? And, oh, she wants to go on a tour, or she wants to go to this restaurant. And even though she knows it's clinging, she doesn't mind at all. She's not afraid of it. So sometimes when we don't have enough confidence or an understanding, we may be afraid of our unwholesomeness or try to avoid it. But like if she gets upset with the maid or has some strong noble for something, she doesn't mind it at all. It's because it's so natural.
Otherwise, there cannot be understanding
and, it shows more
and detachment from it, because it's still you. Is still yours at that moment, who is a such degree of unwholesomeness. But when one is brave enough to understand that, oh, it's only lopa, you would like to experience it, or would you like to cover it up? especially when it appears, try to avoid or to understand it as just a reality, because there is no you. Even it's so ugly, it's not you. Even the other might not like it, but it's not you to want the other to like or dislike. There is no such being. Very short in this life for this name, and then where would it be? No more after death. That's all. And then condition again arise, like we cannot tell who we were last life, who were crying for our departure last life, who were our parents, friends, because completely gone. So next life must be like this life. So why should we cling and trouble so much about stories, which is only thinking, one's own thinking. One lives in one's own thinking, one's own thought.
One clings a lot to also to being the good person or the nice person.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't want to face up to the truth, like just for an example, if we like to stay on our own, we like to think there is some good in this because we want to be a good person. So if we face up to the fact that really this is just clinging, it's like shows more of our unwholesomeness or weakness. So as you say, one has to be very brave to really be honest with oneself.
And just live in the moment, because the preceding one has completely gone. The next one hasn't come yet. What about the understanding of reality now? It can develop. Right understanding can grow. But little by little, one has to be very patient. And one see the value of being patient. Especially when it's the matter of developing right understanding. One shouldn't be drawn away by attachment for quick result or wanting to be enlightened.
What is the real meaning of patience? Could one say the real meaning of patience? Being patient with the present reality.
Be aware to develop understanding of visible object which now appears as just a reality that can be seen, cannot be heard, different from sound at this moment. Little by little, holding the knife's handle.
Sometimes one might have some, what can I say, like one almost like an addiction, talking about addiction, like some clinging might can grasp onto an object. I mean, it may be a story or concept, we just not let it go at all. Even though one knows in theory it's useless, even though in between there may be moments of awareness of thinking, but still it grasps on and it holds on so tight, and it seems so difficult to develop any patience at that moment because it's one knows it's so destructive, but yet
so the higher understanding needs development. Develop it, that's all, from this moment to another moment, little by little. You cannot have 10 moments together in a moment, just one moment at a time.
And at that time, because the moments of understanding are so short and the grasping is so long, it seems very hard not to take it so seriously, or like now we can be very pleasant.
One must have firm resolution to develop it. But now and then, who knows? But we don't forget this resolution.
We're all very delighted that you were forced to come to Hong Kong.
By condition.